Amen. Let's pray and let's get to the word. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, it is all about you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming into the world that you created. And although we had sinned against you in the garden and even in our lives, you chose to come down 32 generations, heal the sick, raise the dead, give sight to the blind, and ultimately go to the cross to purchase our redemption. And we thank you that you rose again with all power and authority and commanded us to make disciples of all the nations. So towards that end, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. And we'll look at this subject, the coming of the Messiah. The coming of the Messiah, or really the coming of the King. It's an interesting thing, this thing of rulership and power. I enjoy not just barbecue, but I also enjoy old school R&B. And there's a group by the name of the OJs, and they have a song, For the Love of Money. And there's something associated with that that's often really the desire for power, to rule, to reign. And this morning I overheard of the overtoppling of Bashar Assad, the former ruler of Syria. And so when I've reflected on that, that the sweep of history has been a succession of kings rising and falling. People, not just kings, queens, people love power. And for the Jewish people who were receiving the gospel of Matthew, who has his own story, formerly a tax collector, who was radically transformed, went from an agent of Rome collecting taxes to a follower of Jesus Christ. He's recounting the good news about the Messiah, the chosen king of Israel. And this is where we're landing this morning. So we're going to read through this text. You're going to hear some names. Maybe you've heard of some of them. And we're going to reflect on it. I invite you to pray with me and also pray for me as we look at the coming of the Messiah. Chapter 1, the record of the genealogy of the Messiah, of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram. And Ram was the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nashon. Say that three times. See how you're doing. I'm practicing here. And Nashon, the father of Salmon, and Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. We're hearing some names familiar here. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth. And Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David the king. David was the father of Solomon by Bathsheba, who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah, and Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa was the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat, the father of Joram, and Joram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah was the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Ammon, and Ammon, the father of Josiah. Josiah became the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. I'm not through reading yet, but just want to pause. Notice that in this genealogy, the lineage from Abraham, their forefather, honored figure among the Jews, we see God at work and through this family line. And as you're hearing these names, this might even sound something like Lord of the Rings, so-and-so, Denethor, son of so-and-so. You're hearing these names, you're like, well, who are these people? Bear in mind that God was at work through each of these generations, bringing about promises that he made to them. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit in Abraham. There were covenants that God made to Abraham, to David. There are promises he made. And you notice that in verse 11, this thing of deportation to Babylon. With God's promises to his people that I'm going to give you this land that I promised to Abraham, but if you disobey me, you turn your back on me, you forget me, then I'm going to take you away. So God has been at work through thick and through thin. And I say this to say that the providence of God is not just when it's sunshine and rainbows, but also through tough and dark times. And somebody may need to hear that today. Let's keep going at verse 12. After the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah became the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the father of Abihud, Abihud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor. Azor was the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Achim, and Achim the father of Eliud. Eliud was the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Matan, and Matan the father of Jacob. Look at this. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. So for the Jewish people to hear about this Jesus of Nazareth and to hear about his lineage and his connection to Abraham, he's actually called the son of Abraham, which is a title, but he's also called a son of David. And if you recall in the stories, and we'll hear from our good brothers that'll be preaching, and I believe Jim Licata will be preaching on a number of things related to Christ, that the family of Mary and Joseph actually went to Bethlehem. They had for the census to go to that place that was designated towards their family lineage. So Jesus descends from royalty, and he indeed is king. So for the Jew to hear this, they're hearing it with an emphasis on Abraham's line all the way through David's line. And we'll get into that a little bit more. Bear with me a little bit more. Let's look at the birth, and then we'll circle back through the text. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, and she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Much to say about that. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. A side note, Matthew quotes quite often the prophets of old. If you have in your Bible and the letters all of a sudden look different and it's kind of capped in a different way, that's letting you know Matthew, the apostle, is pointing back, hey, this is what God was saying a long time ago through Isaiah. And this happens a lot in Matthew. And this is to affirm that what God promised then is happening now. Let's continue. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. Joseph was a good man. And putting ourselves, sometimes we have to kind of prayerfully walk across bridges. What would it have been like to have heard this the first time? To be a Jew or maybe a Gentile in the times of the apostles and to hear this wonderful story and to be a young man betrothed, in Joseph's case, to Mary, younger than him, and to discover that she's now with child. And you see the love that he has for her, not wanting to put her to shame, but to divorce her privately. And yet the thing that occurred was completely of God. And so with that, I want to pivot for a moment to reflect on the reign of Christ as described in this text, the genealogy and the ancestry of Christ and some elements of it, and then also the events of his birth. And my prayer for you as well as for me as we reflect on these things, we would truly invite Jesus into our Christmas this year. And heart and mind. People may debate the actual day. Most likely, it probably was not December 25th. Some say maybe even into early March. But setting aside the accuracy of the date, the main fact is that Jesus came into this world. That's the good news. And he not only came, he stayed. And looking out over the audience and seeing a number of you, I wonder how many have Jesus in their heart today. And if you have him, that makes all the difference in the world. So let's talk about the reign of Christ. Matthew, the apostle, in the first verse, gives a record of the genealogy, notice this, of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And when you see the record in the genealogy, it almost harkens back. If you read the book of Genesis, it'll say these are the records and the generations of. It's preparing you to discover, wow, this is the line of people, but it starts off giving a title to him is the Messiah. You'll see that name in the Bible. You'll see Christ. And sometimes, and I'll admit this as a kid, when I used to hear Jesus Christ, they say, who is, what's that name? I thought Christ at one time was his last name. But it's, and if you're here today, don't feel bad. Many people thought that, but it's not his last name. It's his title as to who he is. And let's talk about that. Messiah or Christ, Christos, speaks of anointing or the anointed one. And in ancient Israel, if you remember the story when God went to choose a ruler in Israel and King David was out watching sheep and the Lord sent Samuel. Samuel took a horn of oil, and you can read the story for yourself, and he anoints David as the king. And that action of anointing with oil was a symbolic gesture where the oil would be poured on the head of this person who was chosen or succeeded in the line of kings to say, hey, this one is the king. This one is the ruler of this nation. Well, fast forward, Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all, is called the, capital T, anointed one. He's the king. He's the ruler. Now, why would this be important then? If you can imagine, if you were a Jew living in Jerusalem at the time, Roman authorities were there. They would have seen legionaries walk through the city. They would have seen tax collectors taking money from people, sometimes more than they should. They would have heard about someone by the name of Kaiser or Caesar. And Caesar demanded complete and utter obedience, so much so that legions of Romans would go into a place and they would have a roll and people would have to come out and pledge allegiance to Rome. And they would say, Kaiser Kurios. And Christians at the time of after the resurrection, in defiance, they would say, Jesu Kurios, Jesus is Lord, not Kaiser. So here, plainly, Jesus is called the Messiah, the King, the Anointed One. And by the way, if it was true then, is it true today? Do we need Jesus to be on the throne at all times? And then you, my friend, have that gift at Christmas, that he is the ruler. And his rule takes place through hearts, through minds, and even into our lives. So this is how it begins, his story. He is the anointed one. He is the long-awaited king. And for those among the children of Israel, this has been a long wait for this coming one, this Messiah. And that's even a whole other discussion of how the prophets foretold the coming. And we see one reference even here by Isaiah, where the virgin shall give forth a child. And that too was a long wait for Jesus. But let me pivot towards beyond his reign, notice his genealogy. Abraham. You read for yourself that God called Abraham from a place called Ur of Chaldees. You can read this in Genesis. He literally goes from a pagan environment and he travels, and God calls him to a place that he would show him that would be for his descendants and forever beyond that. And in Genesis chapter 12, and I'm glad to hear some pages turning, God makes a promise to Abraham. He says, I will, in fact, rather than me just quote it from ahead, let me read, turn it to Genesis chapter 12. Because from time to time, my memory gets fuzzy. All right, and eyesight too these days. I'm like Mr. Magoo these days. But here's, I'm showing how old I am with that reference to Magoo. I told you, a dad joke number 4. Chapter 12. Verse 1, and look at this promise. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curses you. I will curse, and in you, look at this, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot with him. Now Abram was 75 years old, and he departed from Haran. Here is an elderly man called by God and blessed by God to have a land that God would give. And that land was given to the children of Israel. Whole lot to talk about the fighting going on in that land. But let me also say this, that here it is, he's barren, his wife is barren, he's an elderly man, and God makes this covenant that I'm going to bless you to be a blessing to others, and through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And that will be fulfilled through the ultimate son of Abraham, Jesus Christ. Can you see that? We're just drawing a line from a promise thousands of years ago, and at this time, it was just the start of a small family. And then he goes on and describes the lineage, Jacob and Judah and so forth. And may I also say in this ancestry, it's not like it was a straight line to Jesus. There were some highs and lows in this family. And Genesis will record some interesting stories, to say the least. But a part of that family lineage, which we went through not too long ago, was that the Lord would bring about his children through Ruth and Boaz. And Boaz was born from Nahshon, his father, who was with, from Salmon, his father, who was with a woman named, I'm drawing a blank here, Rahab, thank you, my Bible students, is right there, verse 5, which is interesting because here it was, they waged war against Jericho, and Rahab, who was a harlot, had faith in God, and God reached out to this Canaanite woman who became a part of the household of God. And in that union with Rahab and her husband, Salmon, they produced a good and godly man named Boaz. The genealogy of Jesus through family lines, but we also see past family, this thing of nations, through David. And David and his highs and lows, the Lord brought about Solomon through the affair, sadly, of him and Bathsheba, which God punished David for. But God blessed Solomon to take the throne. And during Solomon's reign, he walked with God. David walked with God. Sadly, many of these kings that are listed here did not walk with God. If you ever want to read the stories, you can read 1 Samuel, you can read Kings and Chronicles, and you see the experience of the Israelites, not just as a family, but as a nation. And as long as they walked with God, they experienced the blessings. And then there are times where they did not. And yet God was at work. Just to mention a few, some of the darker experiences of that time, before the deportation, there was a man named Manasseh, a ruler, and sadly he led them into idolatry. And his son, Amon, also did too, a father and grandfather that took the children of Israel away from God. Although Manasseh would appear to have repented, and you see God visiting him with mercy. And these are lessons that we can learn to turn back to God when we find ourselves outside of his will. But also notice that no matter, because not all of us were raised in the church or had Christian family or ever been good boys and girls, God's grace can show up in the lines of people in unexpected ways. Because there's a young king named Josiah, verse 11. Josiah was one of the most godly kings of the lines of Israel. And his daddy and his daddy's daddy were horrible people. Now, why am I saying this? This is in the lineage of Jesus, but I say this for your hope and encouragement, that wherever God had brought you into this world and the family, because Christmas is, and holidays are not easy, you may be meeting with people that have hurt you or let you down or really weren't there, but know that Christ's redemption can reach into the darkest places and bring his light. And Josiah is a good example. In fact, he's one of the most zealous kings for the Lord before the deportation. This is the genealogy of Jesus. And so it goes down 32 generations, many good and godly men and women as well in his genealogy, all the way to the time of Jesus. And let's move towards the birth. I shared already that Jesus Christ, King and ruler, is born of the Holy Spirit. Some of these things you may well know, but his birth is different from that of any other human being. He's fully God and fully man at the same time, except he does not in any way have sin. And Joseph, who may have been his adopted father, was not the father, it was the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and yet born of a virgin. And Joseph, being a righteous man, he's having to wrestle with this. Why? How did this happen? Some of you have met, from time to time, my son Joseph will come here. Part of why he has that name, not just my wife's grandfather, but also just Joseph was just a godly man. Joseph in the New Testament was a godly man. Joseph in the Old Testament was a godly man. That's why we named my son Joseph. And you see this in his willingness to shield Mary from shame. And that's commendable. But may I also highlight that we see the beauty of Jesus coming into the world through this humble couple, humble woman of God, humble man of God, willing to really be subjected to some degrees of shame and some challenges. But yet God did this, and it's a beautiful thing that God enters the world to be with his creation. Only God can do that. And if you would, ponder with me for a moment. There was a time where literally our God and our Creator created everything. He has the power to bring forth life. And for the Creator to bring forth life, to choose to take on the very humanity is a marvelous thing. And I want us, by God's grace, to reflect on that, because we have a Savior who can relate to us in our humanity. Did you catch that? Bible says in Hebrews that we have a high priest who's touched with our infirmities. And he was tempted in all sins, but yet did not sin. So if you're walking at the hospital and you have to have an appointment, or you got some bad news, or if you're dealing with a difficult child or a family member, or if you're trying to make ends meet, you have a God who, as God, is all-powerful to control all things, but as man, he understands you. Amen. And he not only understands you, he's willing to be with you. In this moment, I reflect on times when I'm at the hospital, and there's times where clearly I say, Jesus, come by here, because you're the only answer. I share some of these things. Certainly, I invite you to pray for those people I'm talking about. Pray for me. I also want to highlight that God's peace can show up in amazing ways. I think of two that I'll share right now. Pray for a mother whose four-month-old child woke up and the child was passed away. And just pouring out her heart and the screams and so forth, I cannot describe that horror for that mother. But I can describe somehow, some way, the Lord bringing his peace in that situation, that there are not words that I can express to describe that. Pray for that mother. I cannot describe what it's like for a 16, 17-year-old boy to go through multiple heart surgeries and not knowing if this next one I'm going to go be with Jesus and trying to figure out, Mr. Charles, you know, why is God putting me through this? But may I say, this great God who says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish and have everlasting life. For some, the comfort that they long for may not be fully found in this life. But may I encourage you this Christmas that there's life beyond this life too? That there's actually a place where there's no sickness, there's no sorrow, there's no sadness. All things that are old will be passed away. And in that place, there's joy. There is that place. And I want you to know that there are people there. And some of them, I tell them, when you see Jesus, tell them Charles said hi. Tell them Charles said hi. He said, all right, I'll tell him, Charles, I'll tell him. And I'm looking forward to saying hi myself. So Jesus is born of a virgin, born into a world where men are trying to rule and not give God the glory, but he's born with a mission, and the mission is in his name. So you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It's in his name, and it's at his birth that he's coming with a mission to bring us all back to the Father. And that, my friends, is the greatest gift we can ever get at Christmas and can ever give to anybody. Jesus, the Messiah, the King, has a name that is above every name. Well, I'm about through. I promise not to do a Baptist one on you today. May I also say that the presence and reality of Jesus is still here. And if by chance this Christmas, whether it be hard or easy or difficult, let's invite him to come into our circumstances. He has come, and thanks be to God, he has stayed. And Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we thank you for Christmas. And we thank you for the hope that you bring. In this life, we will have troubles, but you say, be of good cheer, for you have overcome them. And so we thank you. And even we lift up our eyes and our hearts to praise you, because you have not left us alone. You have come. And we thank you that we can have joy with you in this life, through this life, and even after this life. Ask your blessings on these, your precious people here at CBC. And Father, I pray a special prayer for there be one today who's never given their life to you. May today be the day they give you their faith, their all. In Jesus' name, amen.